Jabbar, young people heard 7 messages in 2 days. Boy, that's more than some of us here all week long, ain't it? Sure is, and that's wonderful. Pray God would bless everything we heard and apply it to our hearts. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning, and turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, if you will. And I hope you bring your Bible to God's house this morning. Don't leave it at house. Don't leave it in your car, but bring it to church that you can read along with me and ask God to help us, if you will. The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's look here, if you would, Romans chapter 3. And we've read these verses many of times. I've read them. You've read them. Other preachers have read them. But let's start somewhere. So let's start here in verse 9, if we will. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. And we'll read, I believe, the verse 26. Read along with me. It says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proven both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their ways, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believed, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, though he forbears of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus." Let's pray together. Father, we ask you to take the reading of God's word and apply it to our lives this morning. God, I believe we can take the right application, but God, help us to get the right interpretation this morning. And God, help me to preach right on our level. God, I wish not to preach above anybody's head, but God, as we leave this church building this morning, may each and every one that's here say, "I know exactly what the Bible said and what the preacher was preaching." Father, we pray, God, you use this message, these verses, this Holy Bible this morning to speak to our hearts. And God, may this not be time that's been wasted, but may it be time that we spend with the Lord. And God, we pray for those who are lost. Right now, would you prick their hearts? God, right now, with the Holy Spirit of God, just get upon them, God, and squeeze their hearts. And may they realize that they need to be saved and give their lives to Jesus Christ. And God, I ask you if that would happen today for them. Will they get gloriously saved today? Lord, help me to preach and glorify thee. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Here it is, chapter 3, and these verses I read to you speaks about all of mankind. And I want you to notice what it says here, just by way of introduction. It says the 4 nuns we have here in Romans chapter 3. The first one is in verse 9. The Bible says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." So, my friend, you can't stand up here and say you've been a pretty good person, because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. In verse 11, the Bible says there is none that understandeth. My friend, none of us will understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit of God. There's no way any of us that are saved by God's grace this morning can fully comprehend and understand the thoughts and the work of God. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts is not our thoughts. I've been saved for 8 years, but my friend, I have not come to the place where I have figured God out. And thank God we've got a God that's big enough that we will never be able to figure him out. We'll never be able to comprehend the height and depth and compassion and grace and love and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I look around at all of us and wonder, why in the world will God show His mercy on people like us? I wonder about myself, as foul and wretched of a sinner as I was, why would God even save someone like me? Why would God call someone like me to preach? Why would God, my friend, allow me to pastor a wonderful church? We'll never be able to understand our Savior. It says here, there's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, and there's none that seeketh after God. My friend, if you're lost today, undone without Jesus Christ, it's not you finding God. My friend, it's God coming to where you're at. You won't never find God because you're not searching for Him. And God's not trying to find you because He knows exactly where you're at this morning. I get sick and tired of some people say, I found God. I found God, like God was the one that was lost. Hey, beloved, the Bible says we're the ones that's lost in sins on the way to a devil's hell. And it's not God finding you, because God knows everything. God has all power, and God can be everywhere all at the same time. But God, my friend, by divine design, come by your way one day and made Himself known to you. The Bible says there's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Look in verse 12. The Bible says they're all gone out of their ways. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says in Isaiah, I believe chapter 6, 4, verse 6, that our righteousness are as a filthy rags in the sight of God. Beloved, the best you can do, and the best I can do, and the best this church can do without Jesus Christ is just a filthy rag in the sight of God. I tell you, before I got saved, I was a pretty good person. Before I got saved, I had problems, I had issues, I had things I shouldn't have been doing, but I was a pretty good person. I went to work and worked 40 hours a week. I brought my money home. I paid my bills. I bought groceries. I took care of the children. I cut my grass. I helped my neighbors. I took care of my family. I was trying to be polite. I held doors open for older ladies. My friend, I done all I could to be a right person, but all those good things I've ever done without Jesus Christ is just a filthy rag in the sight of God. If I would use this handkerchief all week long and wipe my sweat off my brow and blow my nose in it and clean off the seats and wipe off trash and dust my shoes off with it, my friend, this rag would still look better than what our works is in God's eyes. He said our works are as a filthy rag in the sight of God. The very best you can do, the very best I can do, is just a filthy rag in the sight of God. We have the four nuns here. There's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh, and there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And then he gives you a description of who we are. Beloved, there's not one good thing about us. There's not one good thing about me. There's not one good thing about you except Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're here today and you don't have Jesus Christ, I hate to burst your bubble. I hate to knock the chip off your shoulders. I hate to throw sand in your eyes. But if you're not saved enough today, there's nothing good about you except Jesus. That He would allow you to get saved today by putting your faith and trust in Him. The Bible says here in verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. Their poison mass is under their lips. My friend, you want to know why people curse and swear and curse God and do all that they do, my friend? Because they don't know who Jesus Christ is. He said all those without Christ has a foul, dirty, filthy mouth. When I was growing up, it was wrong for a young person to call somebody a fool. Well, if I called somebody a fool when I was growing up, we'd be toothless. My mama didn't do it, my grandmother would. You didn't grow up and call somebody a fool. You didn't grow up and call somebody stupid. You didn't grow up. We try to teach our children, my friend, hey, don't say shut up. Don't say call somebody stupid. Don't call somebody a fool, my friend. Let's use our mouth to glorify God and to bring praises to Him. The Bible says here in verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. My friend, you can go to an elementary school today. You can go to a fourth and fifth grade school today. And those children, my friend, they know how to curse with the very best of them. They can curse, my friend, like no one other ones that you've ever heard. John Newton, the one that wrote amazing songs, he was known, my friend, for cursing before he got saved. They wrote a biography about John Newton's life. They said that he can curse for 2 hours straight and never repeat himself. We've got some young boys and girls that can stay right there with them, my friend. Their mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Look how much better it's getting for us in verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. My friend, we're getting in a certain time now where a young boy, a young girl, a teenager, older man, older woman, my friend, would take their pistol and blow somebody's brains out just to get in their car and take it to Florence. We're living in a time now where it don't take just two seconds, my friend, to consider of taking someone's life. But we're afraid to go to Walmart at night. But my wife's afraid to go to the grocery store by herself. We stayed in a motel room. And we know the difference between a motel and a hotel. The motel's room is facing towards the parking lots. And I was talking to a preacher as soon as we got to the motel last night. And I said, his name was Brother Cook. I said, Brother Cook, do you feel safe? He reached in his pocket and pulled his pistol out. He said, I do now. I said, I need one of them, don't I? Hey, he pulled his pants leg up and grabbed one from his ankle. He said, I got another one. He had two pistols on him. My friend, we're living in a time now where you got to be packing. You got to have something because somebody want to take your life just for a $20 bill. The Bible says here, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. My friend, we're talking about those who's without Christ. The Bible says destruction and misery are in their ways. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. My friend, all they're going to know their whole life is just destruction and misery, misery and destruction. Look here, if you would. We're going somewheres. In verse 17, the Bible says the way of peace have they not known. Now, I will tell you this. The devil, the world will give you a counterfeit peace. The world will give you a peace that just lasts for a little time. The world will give you a little peace while you sip on your Bud Dummers or while you smoke your reefer or while you listen to the bright lights or while you're dancing with another man's wife or you're dancing with the husband of another wife, my friend. I would tell you the world will give you a little peace, but when you lay down in the middle of the night and you wake up in the morning and you go to work, you know the peace that the world has given you has passed away. The only true peace you can ever have is from Jesus Christ. The only true peace any of us will ever have is from the Lord, my friend. Look what the Bible says. The way of peace have they not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. My friend, the Bible says no fear of God before their eyes. Well, 20 years ago, you wouldn't dare hear somebody breaking into a church house. My friend, you wouldn't dare hear somebody knocking out the windows of a church van. My friend, years ago, you wouldn't dare hear somebody robbing a pastor and beating him up just to take their shoes off of his feet. But we live in a time now where there's no fear of God before anybody's eyes. There's no fear of God. My friend, we've got young girls now who's having sex at the age of 13 because they don't fear God. We've got young boys now who's dealing in dope at age 13 because they have no fear of God. We've got mamas and daddies that gives their children to the world because they have no fear of God. We got people, my friend, that come to church and make a mockery of God and make a mockery of the Bible because they don't fear God. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says here, if you would, in verse 19. And we know that things whatsoever the law saith, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You want to know who we are? All of us is guilty sinners. Well, you might not be caught, but you're guilty. You might not be caught by the world. Your mama might know what you're doing. Your daddy might not know what you're doing. The preacher might not know what you're doing. But my friend, I want you to know, with God, a God in heaven that's looking down, that sees everything that's going on everywhere. And the Bible says the world has become guilty before God. Let me draw your attention to verse 23. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We'll look at a little word sin this morning. The Bible says, for all have sinned. My friend, sin is the transgression of the law, or overstepping of the law. My friend, when we committed sin, God's got a holy law. God's got a righteous law. God's got a law, my friend, written in God's word. And God has drawn a line and says, you're not to step over this line. But every one of us, my friend, by birth and by choice and by conduct and by actions, has stepped over the line of God. And we transgressed the law of God. We've sinned against a holy and righteous God. So the Bible declares, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of Adam, my friend, we've inherited the sinful debt of Adam and Eve. I want you to notice, my friend, that sin was originated with Satan. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15, you don't have to turn there. Let me read this to you, if you will. In Isaiah, you can make reference to it. Write it down. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Here's Satan, my friend, before the world was formed, before me and you was born. Hey, Satan, my friend, said, hey, I'm going to be greater and higher and mightier than God. And my friend, sin entered into the heart of Satan. And God looked at Satan. And God told old Lucifer this. He said, I will. He said, here. He said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Hey, God said, there's going to be nobody higher than me. There's going to be nobody greater than me. He said, I am God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Hey, my friend, sin originated with Satan. You want to know why people curse? You want to know why people steal? You want to know why mothers abort their babies? You want to know why drunkards beat their wives? Because of the devil. Because of the devil. Because he sinned against God. And because he sinned against God, God cast him down. God kicked him out of heaven. I preached a message one time. I used this text, ugly's got to go. My friend, when the devil become ugly in heaven, God had to get rid of him. My friend, anything ugly in our lives has got to go. Here, God kicked Satan out of heaven. And my friend, sin originated with Satan. But I want you to know, sin entered into the world by Adam. The Bible says, wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I want you to know, sin originated with Satan. But my friend, sin entered into the world by Adam and Eve. Eve was beguiled and taken the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. But my friend, Adam knew exactly what God said. Adam deliberately chose to take that fruit and partake of that fruit and sin against God. My friend, Adam, he chose that day to listen to his wife and take that fruit. I don't know if it's an apple. I don't know if it's an orange. I don't know if it's a pear. But I know the Bible says that God says, hey, you shouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The old serpent, the old Lucifer, the old devil, the old Satan, the old accuser, the old deceiver come by and said, Eve, he said, hey, you can't eat it because God knows that the day you eat of it, you shall be like God, knowing good from evil. Old Eve partook of that fruit and bit into it, and her eyes was open. She knew she was naked and knew she sinned against God. I believe Adam came to her and said, Eve, what did you do? And she said, Eve, this serpent, he beguiled me. He told me if I would eat this fruit, that I would be like a god. I would know good from evil. I have powers. I'll be able to be like God in heaven. And Eve said, this Satan tricked me. And Adam, I believe, partook of the same fruit. He said, I'm not going to live my life without my wife. And bit into it and sinned against the holy and righteous God. My friend, the devil might trick you for some time, but you know. You know if you're right. You know if you're wrong. My friend, you know, when I was a little boy, and I'm not going to do it, but when I was a little boy, we had another little boy living beside us. Mama used to babysit him. I remember we used to wrestle. He'd get mad at us and bite us. But here's an evil, wicked little boy. He told us, he said, hey, you know you can hold up certain fingers, and one finger is bad and one finger is not bad. He said, if you hold up one finger, it's bad. And we all know what I'm trying to say. He said, if you hold up one finger, it's bad. You can hold up any other finger but this one finger. You know what he done, Brother John? Hey, that sneaky snake in the grass. He said, hey, you can't hold up your first finger because that's cursing God. But all the other three fingers, you can hold them up and it won't matter. You know what he done? He tricked us. Hey, me and my brother, the whole day, we were sticking our fingers up in the air like some morons. Hey, we didn't know what was going on. And then finally, I believe mom or daddy, somebody called us, and they told us it was wrong. Hey, they tore our hides up. They told us to never do it again. I'm going to just tell you, my friend, the devil might trick you one time, but hey, God says, hey, once you know what sin is, and you step over that sin, you become guilty before God. The Bible says where there is no transgression law, there is no sin. You take Brooke this morning, you take Aubrey, you take a little baby. They don't know what a lie is. They don't know what stealing is. They don't know what killing is. They don't know what adultery is. So a little baby, my friend, a little baby's right with God because they have never transgressed the law. But as soon as they get to the age of accountability, you said, preacher, as soon as they get to 12, I don't know if it's 12, I don't know if it's 8, I don't know if it's 4. I know whenever they know they've sinned against God, they need to get saved right then. Hey, my friend, the Bible says that when we transgress God's law, we become sinners. And the Bible says all have sinned. You know what I'm looking at today? A bunch of sinners. From the pulpit on down, a bunch of sinners. The only difference about some of us is we're saved sinners. The only difference about me is I'm saved. If you're not saved today, you're a sinner. You're in the same situation I was 8 years ago on your way to a devil's hell, and there's nothing you can do. My friend, I want you to know that sin entered into the world by Adam. I want you to know, my friend, sin is universal. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to know sin has two penalties this morning. Sin has two penalties this morning. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's a physical death. All of us is going to have to sin. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You ever thought about Jesus Christ at Lazarus' tomb? Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was going to get up out of the grave and come forth. But the Bible says Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? I believe, my friend, he knew what sin has done to everybody. Sin has caused a physical death. Was at my grandfather's funeral last week. Had the privilege and honor to preach his funeral. Excuse me, I didn't preach his funeral. He preached his own funeral while he was living. Had the privilege and honor to preach the gospel to his family. All of us is preaching our funeral right now. All of us is preaching our funeral right now. And beloved, you're not going to die no better than you live. If you live for the devil, my friend, I can't preach you to heaven. I can't preach how good you was. All I can do is tell your family about Jesus. But hey, my friend, I want you to know there are two penalties of sin. It's a physical death and a spiritual death. My friend, the day we was born, we started dying. The day we was born, we started dying. It might take 60, 70, 80 years, 90 years, 91 years, 100 years, 110 years. But all of us, my friend, is going to have to taste death. Death of physical. And without Christ, death of the spiritual. We're spiritually dead without Jesus. Now, I want you to notice this morning, sin only has one remedy. And that's the blood of Jesus. Sin only has one cure, and that's the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, my friend. I want you to know something. All of us is guilty sinners, and all of us will go to a devil's hell. All of us will suffer a physical and spiritual death if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the Bible says, cleanses us from all sins. Thank God he takes care of our sins. Look here, if you would, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, if you'll look at it with me. Notice what it says here in verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The Bible says here, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Don't get scared. I'm going to preach to you this morning about sin. Sin. You know what sin brings? Sin brings death. Sin brings death to a church. Sin, my friend, will kill this church unless the preacher and the pastor and the members, my friend, stands against it. Hey, you're not looking at a preacher that's going to pussyfoot around the Bible. You're not looking at a preacher that's going to tiptoe through the tulips. Hey, you're not looking at a preacher by God's grace who's going to compromise and who's going to lower the standards and lower the convictions. We're going to preach the King James Bible and live the King James Bible and stand a hold and stand a firm and lift up the high blood-stained banner of Jesus and say, hey, the Bible is the precious word of God. I want you to know sin brings death to a church. Amen. Why do so many churches close their door? 40 churches a week. Statistics say 40 churches a week closes their doors. 40 churches a week closes their doors. Why? Could be because of sin. Death. Sin brings death. Sin brings death to a church, but sin also brings death to a family. I'm going to tell you what sin will do. Hey, sin will kill a family. Hey, sin will kill a church. If the preacher don't preach on it and the sin gets in, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Pretty soon it's out of control and nothing can take control of it. Nothing, my friend, can conquer it, my friend. When sin gets in a family, I want you to notice how many families have been destroyed by sin. How many mamas and daddies have separated because of sin. How many children have went wayward because of sin. I want you to know something. Sin brings death. When I was a little boy, mom was crazy enough to let me get a four-wheeler. Couldn't get no license. So she let me get a four-wheeler. I worked for it. I worked tobacco field. I cut grass, picked up pine cones. I done everything I could. I saved the money for it. I bought me a 200 Honda Type 2. Little racks on the back. I loved it. Old used up thing. And where we lived at, you can cut through the woods, and as you cut through the woods, you can go down a dirt road, and dirt road will lead you out to another dirt road, and we just had all kind of fun. One day, me and another friend, Robert Brayfield, we was riding four-wheelers together. We was going down the road, and we had a little hunt knife strapped to our side. We were riding our four-wheelers, and we saw a dog that was dead in the ditch on the dirt road. About 2 days later, we was riding the same four-wheelers down the same road. We saw the same dog, but something was different about him. He gotten bigger. He started swelling up. You know, getting bloated. My friend encouraged me to let's see what was on the inside of the dog that made him do that. I didn't have enough sense, so we stopped the four-wheeler, got off our four-wheelers, grabbed our little pocket knives, and went up to that dog that was already twice the size as he was. I saw the big old gut hanging, you know, the big old stomach. I took my knife. We're talking about death. We smelt death. Boy, it stunk. Boy, it stunk. We hopped back on the four-wheelers and done our best to crank them up and going down the road, my friend. We're trying to get away from the smell, but the smell was in our nose. The smell was in our nostrils. The smell was in our mouth. The smell was in our stomach. The smell was in our clothes. We smelt death all day long. I want to tell you, my friend, if we get sin in the church and sin in our families, death will come, and death is gruesome, and death is all awful. And, my friend, death will affect everything. When whole day. Whole day, Brother John. Didn't feel like eating. Wanted to just throw up. Wanted to just puke my guts out. Because that smell was on me. I couldn't get rid of that smell. And my friend, every time I go by a dead animal, I smell that same smell. Every time I go by the same old dead animal, I see their stomachs blowing up and maggots coming out of them. I smell the same smell. I want you to know something. If you get sin in your life, it's going to destroy your church and destroy your family. And you'll have that same smell on you every time, every day, every day, every day, every day, until you get it right with God. Sin brings death. Sin brings death. Sin also brings division. My friends, so many families, mamas and daddies, has been divided because of sin. Mama's doing something. Daddy's doing something. Neither one of them should do. And that sin brings division. Mama says, I can't live. I can't live like this no more. I'm going to have to go. Daddy says, I can't live like this no more. I'm going to have to go. And my friend, the children is there to suffer the consequences. The children is pulled apart, my friend. I want you to know something. Hey, sin brings death, but sin brings division. Hey, my friend, sin brings division, not only in the church, but in the family. Hey, this is something greater than our church. This is something greater than your life. We're talking about families this morning. Families has been divided by sin. Families who's been put to death because of sin. I wonder what some of our young people could be. They had the right home, right mamas and daddies, somebody who cared for them and took the Bible and showed them who Christ is. I wonder, some of our young people, my friend, that sin has had an impact on our lives. My friend, we got people, young boys and girls, 13, 14, 15 years old, that knows more about the world than you would ever imagine. And you know why? Because their mamas don't care. Because their daddies don't care. Because they allow sin to get in their lives and they don't care nothing about it. Sin brings death. Sin brings divisions. Sin brings devastation. My friend, sin is killing us, folks. It's killing America. It's killing our churches. It's killing our families. And we just say, well, it's just some habit. It's just some problem. It's just something they've got to work out, Brother John. It was just something they was born with. Hey, my friend, they was born with it, but they can get rid of it in Jesus. Hey, my friend, it's not some bad habit. It's not some problem. The Bible says it's sin. And sin is against God. And sin is not righteous. And sin is not holy. And sin is against everything and anything God is for. Sin brings devastation. My friend, have you ever been to the Niagara River and seen where the water goes over the waterfall? It's a beautiful sight. But if you go up the waterfall and go down the river, go up river for a little bit, you get up there about 2 or 3 miles, you know what you'll see? You'll see a cable. You'll see a metal cable stretched from one side of the river to the very other side of the river. It's got little floaties on it so it can stay up on top of the water. It's got a sign on it. It says the point of no return. You know what it is, my friend? They estimate if you ever get on the other side of that metal cable, the current's going so fast, it's pulling so strong, and it's so powerful, there's no way back up river. The only way, my friend, is to go down the Niagara Falls and get killed. They said this is the point of no return. If you go any further than this, you will not live. Life is the same way. Sin's the same way. It's got a little barrier. It says if you ever pass this, it's the point of no return. If you say, preacher, can people sin? Can people sin enough that God will leave them alone? Can people sin enough where they have no hope of getting saved? Can people sin enough? Can people sin enough where they have no chance of being saved and going to heaven? They've got to die and go to hell. I'm going to tell you, my friend, in your life, in my life, in this world, there's a point of no return. And you get past that point of no return, I believe God, my friend, He will not squeeze your heart. He will not convict your heart. He will not send another Baptist preacher by your way to tell you about Jesus Christ. There's a point, my friend, that you can get when there's no return. Hey, y'all girls look this way for me, okay? Thank you. There's a point of no return. I don't know where it's at. It could be in the grave. It could be a year. I don't know where it's at. I was talking to somebody the other day. I can't remember who it was. You know how many times I heard the gospel before I got saved? I didn't just hear it one time. I didn't hear it two times. I probably heard the gospel probably a dozen times before I realized that last time how I was lost. I'm going to bust hell wide open if I didn't get saved. My friend, you know what I said the other day? God would be a just and righteous God to let us hear the gospel one time and never allow us the opportunity to hear it again. He'll still be just and righteous and good and holy and merciful and compassionate and loving just to let us hear the gospel one time and never hear it again. But I heard the gospel when I was little. Heard the gospel, my friend. People gave me a gospel tract, and I went to vacation Bible school and heard the gospel. I should have got saved that night. That Friday night I didn't. It took 2 months later on. God worked in my life. I want to tell you, my friend, in our lives, in our children's lives, in these young boys' lives, in my girls' lives, in your children's life, in your life, in my life, there's a point, my friend, we can get to where there's no return. I'm going to tell you, sin brings death. Sin brings division. Sin brings devastation. And my friend, we get to the point where, hey, we'll laugh at sin and we'll joke about sin and we'll just throw it over our shoulder and say it's all right because we're not living in the old law anymore. We're not living in the old economy anymore and everything's all right. Beloved, sin is not all right. I'm looking around at church members. I'm looking around at Christians. I'm looking around at people that's been saved. If you claim the name of Christ and say you're a Christian, you ought to live like it. You ought to live like it. I'm telling you, man, sin killing us. Sin's killing these children. Sin's killing our families. Sin's killing this church. But you know what sin does? Sin brings doom. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you're here today and you're listening to my voice and you're not saved, if you die in the situation you're in today, you'll have to go to a place called hell. That's the only place sinners can go. It's a place called hell. You know what sin brings? When the devil will come by and tempted Eve, and Eve partook of that fruit, she inherited that sin nature. My friend, if God never killed an animal and covered her nakedness, which is a picture of Jesus, my friend, she'd be having to live the rest of her life in sin. I'm going to show you the grace of God. I thought about this the other day. Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. They partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and Eve ate of the fruit, and Adam ate of the fruit, and they inherited sin. You know how loving God is. You know how merciful God is. Hey, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, and God put a sheriff in, my friend, with swords going all kind of ways at the entrance of the Garden of Eden, so Adam and Eve couldn't get back in. You say, why is that, Preacher Scott? Because in the middle of the Garden of Eden is the tree of life. If they partook of the tree of life, they would have to live their whole life in sin. But God says, hey, I don't want you to live your whole life in sin. I want to cover your nakedness. I want to take care of your sins. I want to shed my blood. I want to make a way. I don't want you to be doomed to a place called hell. I don't want you to have to suffer the sin for all your whole life. Hey, my friend, I want to tell you today, if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, won't you come to Jesus today? Ask Him to forgive your sins. You know what He'll do? He'll forgive you. If you mean business. Because the only way you'll be in business with Jesus is if Jesus is dealing with your heart right now. You don't come to this altar popping your bubble gum, joking around, playing around, and come here and just play around with God and get saved. It don't work that way. It's not you coming up here and praying a prayer and believing in yourself to get you saved. You come up here and realize because of yourself, you're going to die and go to hell. And the only way out of it is Jesus. And when you come to Him, He'll save you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, sin, the wages of sin is death. I'm going to give this to you and we'll close. Sin brings death. And you can live in sin, you can engage in sin, and you can be happy doing it. But I want you to know something here. Sin will always make something die. Sin. You know what the Bible says? To him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. It's more than just things we do, it's things we don't do. It's more than just cursing at sin. My friend, I believe for a Christian, we don't read God's word, it's a sin. If we don't pray, it's a sin. If we don't go soul winning, it's a sin. If we're not faithful to church, it's a sin. Hey, if we don't pay our tithes, it's a sin. Hey, if we don't support missions, my friend, and God's putting your heart to do that, it's a sin. I believe it's a sin for any member of this church, my friend, not to be here when the doors is open, my friend. It's more than just what we do, but it's what we don't do that matters. Let me ask you this. Not joking around. Man made a good illustration the other day at the preacher's youth fellowship. What if all of you come to church next Sunday morning and I'm not here? Some of you call the house and say, preacher, you all right? I say, yeah, I'm all right. What did you? Did you have another preaching engagement? No, I didn't have another preaching engagement. Well, is your wife all right? Yes, she's all right. You'll say, well, preacher, what's wrong? We didn't sing in church. Well, sincerely, I just didn't feel like coming. Well, we all showed up and we all got ready for church. We come to church and you wasn't there. We thought something wrong. Preacher, what's going on? You should be in church. Y'all agree the preacher ought to be in church? Well, if you don't, I'll stay home next Sunday. God bless you. You come on and show up. You do the best you can. I believe a preacher ought to be in church, don't you? You think the members ought to be in church? I believe so. You think we ought to do what's right? I believe so. I believe so. You know what's killing us? You know what's hurting us? I'm going to say it the best I can because I love you. I love you. But you know what's killing us? You know what's hurting our church? You know what's hurting America? You hold a mirror up, and that's what the problem is. It's you and me who says we're saved and still lives in sin. Who says, hey, I'm saved. I've been born again. I'm on my way to heaven. But I'm just going to live like I want to. Brother John, we can't live like we want to. We got to live for Jesus. We got to live for Jesus, folks. Sin brings death. The wage of sin is death. Something will have to die because of sin. Let's pray. Father, somehow, some way, I pray you'll take this message, and I'm not here to hurt anybody. I'm here to try to help us this morning. And God, there's so many sinful things we have in our lives, and God, I could stand here and name them one by one, but that's not going to help. What's going to help this morning is for us to acknowledge our sins and get it right with Jesus. I pray, God, you'll help us to do that this morning. Father, help us this morning to do what's right. Confess our sins to Jesus. And I pray that there's one lost and one without Christ, that they come and get right with Jesus this morning. They come and get saved. Lord, I'd be glad to take the Bible and show them how to trust in Jesus. If it's a lady, we'd be glad to have another lady take the Bible and show her how to trust in Jesus. But I pray, God, they get the matter settled this morning. I pray, God, if it's a young girl or young man, they come this morning and get saved by trusting in Jesus. So older man, older woman, grandma or granddaddy, whatever the situation may be, Father, if they're not saved, I pray they get saved today. And God, for all of us that are saved and born again, I pray we'll live like it. We'll forsake the sin that's in our lives, confess it to God, and live right. Father, help us now. I pray you would. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Let's stand to your feet. And while you're standing to your feet, the invitation starts playing. I want to ask maybe real quick, would about five or six people, when I give the invitation, I want five or six people just to come on forward and pray. But here's the invitation I'm going to give. Now, I don't know who the five or six people might be. I want you to go ahead and say, right now, I'm going to come to this altar when he gives the invitation. Here's the invitation, Dave. If you got sin in your life, I want you to come forward this morning and give it to Jesus. If you're a Christian this morning, if you got sin in your life, you know there's things that's wrong in your life, I want you to come and give it to Jesus. Say, God, I want to forsake it. I want to leave it alone. I want to get away from it. I want to serve you. God, I need to get this sin out of my life, because if I don't, it's going to kill me. It's going to kill my family. It's going to kill my children. It's going to kill my church. It's going to kill my marriage. It's going to kill my life. And God, right now, I want to come to this altar and get rid of my sin. Right now, I want to ask you, if you need to get rid of your sin with the other five people, six people that might come to pray, I want you to come right now. Let me get five or six people to come on and get up here and pray, and then you follow them. You follow them. I don't know who you are. If you need to get rid of your sin, you come on right now. I want five or six people to come on this altar. I don't know who's going to pray to get rid of sin. I don't know who's coming to pray because I've asked them to pray. But all I know, my friend, I want you to come right now. Five or six people, you come on right now, whoever you might be. And as they leave out of their pew, I want you to come. And I want you to pray this morning on this altar and ask God to help you get rid of your sin. Ask God to help you forsake your sin, because sin is going to kill and destroy and divide. My friend, sin is going to take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and make you pay more than you would ever pay. I want to ask you this now. You might be on the altar, you might be in the pew. Would you be willing to say, preacher, because of my sin, I'm going to have to die and go to a devil's hell. And this morning, I want to trust in Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive my sin and come into my heart to be my Savior. If you're like that this morning, if you're in the pew, if you had this altar, I want you to raise your hand and say, preacher, this morning I need to receive Christ as my Savior. If you're like that this morning, I want you to lift your hand up so I can see it. Preacher, I need to be saved. I need to get saved. If you're a young boy, young girl, if you're an older man, older woman, grandmama or granddaddy, right now, if you know you need to be saved, I want you to lift your hand up and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I need to get saved. I'm looking around, nobody else is. Preacher, I'm going to lift my hand because I need to get saved. I need to get saved. Let God deal with your heart right now. If God's dealing and God's moving and you know you need to be saved, I want you to do business right now. Don't wait till tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next Sunday. Right now, while God's dealing and God's moving, why don't you lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to get saved. Have my sins forgiven." I don't know who you were, but I appreciate the five or six that come up here to pray. We've got this altar to make choices for God. We've got this altar to make decisions for the Lord. And I don't want anybody to ever be embarrassed to pray. I don't want anybody ever not to come to this altar because they're afraid of who's watching them. But I know if God dealing and God speaks in your heart, you need to come and get things right with the Lord. You need to come right now and get things right with God. My friend, if I wasn't saved, it wouldn't matter who was looking, who was caring. I would come to this altar and get saved. Hey, if I wasn't right with God, it wouldn't matter what somebody would say. It wouldn't matter who would see me. I would run to this altar and slide in and get my sins confessed and get my joy back. Hey, get my happiness back. Hey, I would get my sins confessed and be right with God before I leave this church. Should play one more verse. We need him. We need Jesus. Day, God, for this message in the Bible. Thank you, God, that we see the day that sin will only hurt us. Sin is no good. And I pray for the ones that was at the altar today. And God, would you help them, encourage them. God, as us as Christians, may we be determined to do what's right. Forsake the sin in our life. And follow after the Savior. I pray, God, for those who's in this church building this morning that's not saved. You know their hearts, God, they can't fool you. I pray, God, you'll get their hearts soft and tendered to the Word of God. They may receive you as their Savior. Father, we love you today. We need you. Pray, God, you dismiss us with thy love.